I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
Okay,
or so wait. Let me do this a little bit differently. Welcome to part two.
You kind of stole my line.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, full disclosure right up front. This is a continuation from our last episode. You do not have to have listened to our last episode for this episode to make sense, though. So, I mean, like, full disclosure right up front. If you want to go listen to part one, you can go back and listen to part one. Today is technically a part two, but they both work independently. They don't have to be listened to together.
I personally feel like they should probably listen to them
absolutely go back and listen and start from the beginning and listen to all of our back catalog. 100%, I'm not going to say that you're wrong on that. But today, we are going to continue our conversation from last time, which last time we talked about hazardous plants. And we kind of ran long on that conversation. We were going to start talking about hazardous plants, hazardous edible plants that you would like potentially ingest and not just come across.
Well, more or less hazardous inedible, like you should not eat them.
Okay, hazardous inedible plants, sure. But we ran long last time, so we didn't get to this part, so we said we would hold it over and continue that conversation now. So that's what we're going to talk about this week, is we are going to talk about hazardous inedible plants. We're actually going to, like, time allowing, we're going to get into a little bit on, like, edible plants, too.
Right.
Because I have a couple of things that there's, like, a little bit of crossover between the inedible and the edible, and I wanted to touch on that. But anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. So, having said that, I do have a disclaimer that I want to say right up front, Mike, if you will allow me to say this. We have said many times in the past, you and I are not doctors, right?
Similarly,
that we are not foraging experts. We are not doctors. We are not scientists. This is not medical advice that we're giving anybody. Heavy on the do your own research on this one.
I especially am not any kind of a professional in this realm, being that I don't eat plants for the most part. Like, I'll just tell you, they're all inedible, and we can just, like, end the episode there. But,
I know you are joking when you say that, but I'm going to say this over and over throughout this episode. My fallback is going to be, if you don't know 100% for certain what you are out there putting in your mouth from a wild plant perspective, err on the side of caution. Don't eat it.
Yeah. If you are not in a 100% survival situation, need to have some kind of sustenance in your system, and you're not sure, don't eat it. If you're in a survival situation, you need something, you find a berry, you're not sure. I mean, it's either eat it or die. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Again, I'm going to lean on we are not experts, because I don't know if I feel comfortable even saying that, because I feel like with some of these things that we're going to talk about today, it might make that situation worse if you eat.
Well, like I said, if it's eat it or die, so it's either eat it, survive, you have a, it's a 33-33-33, it's eat it, survive, eat it and die, or don't eat it and die.
I hear what you are saying.
Anyway, we're, like I said, cover our ass. We are not doctors. Take this with a grain of salt. Research it on your own. This is just to bring up the topic and let you know there are things out there that can harm and or kill you. But there are also things that, if you know what they are, that they are edible if you're not me.
Okay, for sure. Yes. And that is like, I mean, you're kind of getting into exactly what I want to say today. And you're right. There are some stuff out. There is things out there that you could theoretically eat.
Yeah.
Again, if you know what they are. Now, if you are new to the outdoors, and if you are in some way using this podcast as your like, dipping your toe into those proverbial waters of being an outdoors person,
which is what we intended this to be,
I am not going to recommend anybody go out there and just like blindly start popping some of these berries in their mouth just all willy-nilly. Right now there are we talk a lot about how like tech savvy we like to pretend we are. There's apps you can take that will like help you identify what some of these plants or berries or fruits or whatever might be.
Most smartphones have it built into their camera app these days where you just take a picture of a plant and it identifies it for you.
If you have cell signal. So like if you're not always cell signal. Same thing with the apps, right? Like so a lot of the apps are gonna rely on an internet connection. There are paper book field guides you can take with you that help you identify the plants. Some of them have photos, some of them have illustrations, some of them just have descriptions.
I think it all comes down to more or less like, you know, you're planning a trip into an area. We're not in the 1900s, but we're not in the early 1900s. And like, we're not even into like the 1980s where there isn't internet, you know, like there are ways to research what the surrounding areas have. You can look like, is this area known to have poison ivy? Is this area known to have poison sumac? Is it known to have bears, porcupine, elk, like all these other, like you can look to see, like these are things that you can just look up and say, yep, that area, it's very prevalent. You probably see this or whatever, or never seen it here up here in like ever.
Yeah.
So when you're in your planning stages, look and see what kind of plants you may or may not encounter.
Well, and I guess, I mean, to kind of go back to something that I said last week too, but like it still holds true with this conversation. We take, you know, for food, you and I generally more often than not take these hiker dehydrated meals.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you'll get a new brand or a new flavor of those that makes your tummy a little gurglier than you would like it to be out on the trail. I'm going to say it again this week. I don't think this is the time to be getting adventurous with trying new things. Like,
I mean, unless you've got an iron gut, man, I don't know.
I mean, if you're the type of person that you, you know, maybe you're listening to this podcast because you want to get into backpacking. You're real familiar with day hikes. You're wanting to get into backpacking, and maybe on your day hikes, you eat wild raspberries like they're going out of style and you're very familiar with what they look like and you know exactly how your body's going to tolerate them. Okay, by all means, you do you and you, you know, continue on your merry foraging way. If you've never tried a wild raspberry in your life, I don't know if out in the backcountry without a toilet readily available, if that's the time I'd be like recommending to try new things.
Well, but my question is, though, this is, unless you're in the backcountry or on somebody's random property, whatever, but when else are you going to come across wild raspberries?
Well, we just came across wild raspberries at the campground we were at, like the glamping campground, the RV park resort that we were at had wild raspberries growing in the park.
Yeah, okay. So in the park, yeah, okay. It wasn't on the trail, but okay.
You could find them out in your, you know, some people have property. You could find them. You got woods on your property.
That's what I said. Random property. Some people's property. Like sure.
You could find them. There's wild berries growing along the rail trail that people ride their bicycles on and stuff here.
Yeah. Okay.
Or here in the city that I live in. So.
He just gave it away.
We'll beep it.
I was gonna say we're gonna edit that out. But anyway, I mean, so anyway, people are figuring it out anyway. But yeah,
there's places you could come across them, not out in the backcountry.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not that adventurous. Yeah,
you're not a real adventurous eater. So you're not looking at new berries and stuff out in the woods anyway, and trying to pop them in your mouth. But
right.
They're all poisonous to me. I came up with kind of a list. I thought we could go through them on potential things that you could encounter out in the wilderness that
right.
you might mistake or see it and think that it looks edible. Again, my fallback is going to be don't eat it if you don't know for 100% sure. But I thought we could go through like the list of things that I have both a list of things that you definitely should not try. And then I do have a list of things that theoretically you could try and should be fairly safe if you're out in the backcountry and would like to try them. And these are things specifically that I think would be hard to confuse with something else. Right. So like if you came across these, it's pretty much the only thing that looks like this, so you should be safe trying it if you are that adventurous. I'm again saying probably don't be that adventurous unless you know for sure. But
right. I mean, you're definitely not that adventurous. We were just up in the campground up north, and you said those wild raspberries were growing. You were not eating them. My wife, on the other hand, was picking them by the handful. Right. So.
Well, and wild raspberries. Okay, so that was me before doing research for this episode. Now that I have done research for this episode, given that opportunity again, I probably would eat them because, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but because wild raspberries, if you see something that looks like a wild raspberry, it is a wild raspberry. Like it is basically the only thing that looks like that. And wild raspberries are basically always safe to eat. So that's what I was concerned with. Is like, I'm looking at this. It looks like a wild raspberry to me,
but
what else looks like wild raspberries? Right. I don't know. So I don't want to eat it thinking it's a wild raspberry and really it's something else that's poisonous, right? That was like my thought process behind it. Turns out I would have been fine.
Okay.
But all right, so let's get into some of the ones. Let's start. I kind of wanted to start with like the if you see these, do not 100% do not eat them. And then I want to couple that with like why not to eat them. Like, what will it do to you if you do accidentally eat it? One of the tips that I did see on the internet, and I was real hesitant on whether or not I even wanted to say this because, like I said, we are saying, like, don't try anything if you don't know what it's going to be. But might not be a bad idea, even with that advice, might not be a bad idea to program poison control's number into your phone if you're taking the cell phone out into the woods with you. Which I did immediately program into my phone because I don't have poison control's toll-free number programmed into my phone. So I programmed it in there now.
Yeah.
I think that's a great thing to have. Could certainly come in handy for more than just this. Like if you take the wrong medicine when you're out there.
Or not even out there, just in regular life. Like if it's an emergency, you don't want to have to Google that shit. You want to be able to just dial it. So that's not a bad thing. Phones should just come with that pre-program. Right.
I mean, wouldn't you think? Right. Okay. All right. So let's start with the first one that I have on my list is something called a baneberry. Okay. That is not something that I had ever, quite honestly, ever heard that term before, but supposedly they are fairly common. They come in either red or white. The red ones, it's everywhere that I saw a description that says it looks like a red currant. Couldn't tell you for the life of me what a red currant looks like. But the other way that I would describe it, having looked at pictures of them, is they kind of look like a weird blueberry. Obviously not blue in color, but like the same berry shape somewhat as a blueberry, but either red or white.
Right. That's kind of what I was seeing. And every red berry that I've ever come across in the woods, I look at it and I say, not just because I don't eat fruits and veggies, but it just looks like it's bad news.
Well,
like, I don't know.
And I will say for certain, you and I have seen these out in the woods. Like the red ones at least. I don't know as though I've seen any of the white ones, but the red ones you and I have seen out in the woods.
Yeah. Well, and this is a different red than like a raspberry. It's not like that deep maroonish red, raspberry red.
Right. This is like a red. Yeah. Like blood red, but like bright red blood, not like dark red blood, but like bright red blood.
That's the best way to
describe. And well, and the weird thing is that they're like pretty shiny, which I don't know why that makes a difference, but most of the other berries, the other ones that are on my list that are safe to eat, are also shiny. So this one's like a deceptive shiny, like it's shiny but not safe. Here's the problem with these ones, right? So, like, let's pretend you didn't listen to this episode and you're out there and you just freaking eat one of these. It's bad news bears. So it has a cardiogenic, again, not a doctor and not a scientist, couldn't really tell you what that means.
Right.
I do know cardio means heart. So that seems like bad news bears. But this can cause things like dizziness, vomiting, or heart failure, which I think is where that cardiogenic thing comes in. Like, it can literally cause heart failure with as few as one berry. So, like, bad news, stay away.
Yeah, right. Don't, especially, you know, if you eat one, you're in trouble. If you eat a handful, you're really in trouble. My notes on this, like, and I don't, and it's, it, I'm speculating here, but it says it's especially toxic to children. And I don't know if their immune systems, like they don't have their immunities built up against like something or whatever, or that they are smaller and like,
yeah, that's
like that whole diluted. Dilution. There it is.
Yeah. Like the bigger you are, the less parts, I don't know. I'm going to say parts per million.
Parts per million. That's like, I'm sure not there. Right. But you know what I'm saying? It's like we're bigger. We have more blood or more whatever to dilute the poison, whereas a child may not.
I would assume
that's
having absolutely nothing to back that up. But I would assume that is why they're more dangerous to children.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but if you do take your kids out in the woods and everything, just make sure they know if they see something that resembles a bright red berry that's shiny, don't touch it. Don't eat it.
Yeah, like don't eat it. And then
kids like to put shit in their mouths. I don't know why.
And the white ones look exactly like the red ones, except for they are like white. Not like an off-white or something that you could maybe call white. Like these are like crayon white, like they are a white,
right?
You know, like a freaking mint or something, you know, that you're gonna pop in your mouth. Yeah. Like they are white, the white ones. So for sure don't eat those. Those are called bane berries. The next one that is fairly common that I think people would come across is gonna be a honeysuckle berry.
Yep.
So the thing with a honeysuckle berry, and here's, this goes back to like the, if you are not 100% sure, don't try it. But a honeysuckle berry can be confused with a blueberry. So this gets into what I was saying about like the raspberries, right? Like I wasn't sure if the raspberries could be confused with something else. This is one of those things where if you don't know what you're looking at, it could be confused. Now,
right,
in real life, like if you know what a blueberry looks like, I feel like you probably would not confuse these with a blueberry, because they're not round like a blueberry is. They're more like an oblong shape, but color wise they are like spot on for a blueberry.
Okay, well, I mean, probably more or less the black ones, right? Because I see the honeysuckle comes, it can be red, orange, or black.
So here's part of the problem with honeysuckle berries. So honeysuckle
It can actually refer to a bunch of different types of plants. So that is actually part of the problem. So there's the red and black ones like you're talking about, Mike. Those are like a small, round, berry-looking thing. And then there's also these other ones that are, they can be called a honeyberry or goes by any sort of honeysuckle type names, but these are the ones that I'm talking about that look like a blueberry and then they're elongated. So this is a larger category than just even what we're talking about, but the ones that I'm describing are the ones that are like the elongated blueberry looking ones. The black ones are a little round black berry, and then there's a little round red berry.
Yeah, my notes, like I said, it just says they come in the red, orange, or black. But regardless, like, and again, the red is not like a raspberry red. It's a brighter red. The orange is a orange, if you will. And then the black, like I said, I think a lot of the black colors in nature more or less are a bluish tint, I think. Again, I'm not a scientist, doctor, or color specialist, but that's what I.
I mean, so I'm just while we were sitting here talking, I was looking up real quick what like a black one is. So the black ones, they are black, dark blue. I mean, they're dark blue. They're not black, but they're like a dark, dark blue. And they also do, raspberry, look more though. Like the not right shape of a blueberry.
What am I trying to say? Blueberry. There we go. Yeah, blueberries, in my opinion, are more purple than blue, so.
But, so here's if there is a good thing to be said about the honeysuckle berry, though, the only good thing is, like, yes, you could theoretically confuse them with a blueberry. They are luckily only mildly toxic. So you're probably going to get an upset stomach.
Some diarrhea or something.
Maybe some diarrhea.
It's not deadly.
It's not great. It's probably not going to be a great time. But, like, if you do accidentally ingest one thinking that it's a blueberry, you're probably not going to be, like, terminally ill from it.
If you're trying to aim in a hole.
Well, right. I mean, that's so. Right. I mean, without getting too gross and too into, like, the pooping in the woods thing. But, like, realistically, yeah. I mean, when you're answering the call of nature out in nature, on a good day, it's not as easy as it is at home. And on a bad day, it could be not so fun.
Yeah. I mean, just, I guess, kind of keep on with the topic of the previous episode, too. This is another non-native species to Michigan that was introduced here and is now invasive and toxic, not just to your gut, but to our forests.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
what happens when you adopt you buy a goldfish and then you just release it into a pond of your neighbors or whatever, and then it just takes over.
Right. Alligators in the sewers, right? I mean, that's.
Right. Right. I wasn't going there, but now you brought up childhood nightmares. Jesus.
So, I mean, that's really all I had to say about honeysuckleberries, though. Like, that's kind of, like, one of the lesser bad ones, because it's really not super terrible if you eat it. They're just, they're not great for you. I wouldn't, like, purposefully have one. The next one that I have on my, like, no-no list is a nightshade berry. These ones, again, come in black or red. Not good. Don't have them.
No, my notes, like, I was looking, they look like, some of the bigger ones look more like a cherry and, or they can be smaller and look like a blueberry.
Right.
Like, is what my notes are saying. Right. Like, they, various shapes and sizes of this one.
Or, I was reading in one spot, too, like, they, one place was saying, like, that some people even can, mistake the red ones, especially for wild tomatoes. which I didn't think they got that big, but like if you think of like maybe like a small cherry tomato type thing or something I could maybe see how somebody would think of that. Nightshade is a bad news plant just kind of all around. Like the first time I ever heard about nightshade was in a Tim Burton movie. They were using like deadly nightshade for something. They call it deadly nightshade kind of for a reason. Like it is really,
really bad,
very extremely toxic. On the good end, it can cause hallucinations. I don't mean it like that, recreationally.
That's the best case scenario.
That is the best case scenario. Yes. In the best case scenario, you get so sick you're hallucinating. Worst case, it can cause paralysis or potentially kill you, which is where the deadly part of deadly nightshade comes into play.
Is this the one that, I mean, you brought up movies, and when I was researching this, and I didn't go and look up the Hunger Games, but this is the one that they talk about in the Hunger Games too. They might call it Nightingale, but I think that's exactly what they're referencing is this berry, because there's something where one of the characters is like going to eat it, trying to survive or whatever, and like she smacks it out of their hand.
I mean, that certainly sounds right. I know I've watched The Hunger Games, and I don't remember that specifically. This is going off memory, so somebody will, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear they talk about this in The Nightmare Before Christmas. I feel like
that tracks for what it. Yeah,
I feel like it was like Sally or something was talking about deadly nightshade. I'm really stretching my brain on that one, and that's not actually what we're here to talk about. But anyway, it's a very Tim Burton-y thing, you know, like poisonous plant. You know, he's super awesome in all of his ways. But yeah, this is not a good one. Like is a berry, especially the black ones. This looks like something you shouldn't eat. I mean, it just looks like something that is not going to be good for you.
I mean, can you say that it looks like something you shouldn't eat when people mistake it for tomatoes and cherries?
Well, so that's going to be the red ones. Now,
oh, right. Okay. The black ones. Yeah.
The red ones, to me, look like, I could see why somebody would think that it was a tomato. Kind of, sort of. It does grow in little bunches, like cherry tomatoes grow in little bunches, you know? It is a color that, to me, I don't know, when I see this, like, color of red out in the woods, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not even chancing that, right? It's like that red color.
Well, and I'm sure, I probably should have looked at pictures of all this stuff, but I just, me and my mindset is like, I'm not going to eat it anyway. Why look at it? But does the plant, I assume the plant doesn't resemble a tomato plant or a cherry tree or like these types of things. It may look like that type of a fruit, if you're going to call a tomato a fruit. But it may look like that type of a
fruit or vegetable. I'm going to say no, they don't necessarily. I would say the closest thing to me that the plant looks like, it kind of looks like a tomato plant.
It does? Okay.
That's being generous. That's like if you squint, you know, like maybe it would look like a tomato plant. It's kind of more of like a viney type plant than a tomato plant is. But like, I think if you squinted hard enough, you could convince yourself that it was a tomato plant.
If you're hungry enough, it's a tomato. Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that you can look out for is this does have, before it turns into the berry, right? It is a purple flower, which tomato plants are not purple flowers. Tomato plants are yellow flowers, generally speaking. So
That
might be one thing that you could watch for if there's any flowers left on the plant. Like if it's a purple one, it would be like an indication that it was this.
I didn't even know tomato plants had flowers, so.
That's what turns into the tomato, Mike.
I don't research these things. I'm not going to eat it.
Mike, that is how that's how fruits and vegetables are made. They start as a flower, they get pollinated by the bees, then it turns into the fruit.
Explain tomato, or not tomatoes, potatoes. They're underground.
That's a root. That's
that's a vegetable.
Different thing. It's a root.
All right, that's not what we're here for.
We're not what we're here for. Oh my gosh, it's like seventh grade science, Mike.
And I didn't pay attention then either. So.
But yeah, so that's what I got about the nightshade. Like, that one's a bad one. Don't eat it. Plain and simple. Stay away. Bad news bears.
Okay.
The next one I wanted to talk about is a pokeweed berry.
A pokeweed, yep.
So this one, see, and this goes back to like me not eating the raspberries in the wild. So this one grows in what would remind people of like a clump of grapes is kind of the closest thing that these would be. Now, what color do these come in is the next question, right? It's kind of this like blue-black
color. I got dark purple or like blue-black, yeah.
It's this blue-black, like, right. So like it's kind of back to like the same color as these other ones that we've been talking about. It's like this dark blue-black color. Now, the one thing that is like the identifying feature of these is the stems that these clusters of quote-unquote grapes grow in are like a bright magenta color. So like whereas grapes grow on like a green stem or a brown stem, right? These stems are a bright magenta color.
It's probably a very pretty plant. Like very interesting to see in nature.
Oh, don't touch probably. It. Yeah. Well, okay, so don't touch it. 100%. So the toxin in these is in all parts of the plants. So not well, even that, just
that's
the
what
berries.
I was gonna say is like the main thing on my notes on this one is like all parts of this plant are toxic.
Right.
Like not just the berry. Anything and toxic is ingestion. So like don't eat any of it. You can touch it, I believe. But realistically, just stay away.
Yeah. Oh, you just stay away for sure. Don't eat it. Now, this is another one of those things where like, okay, this one's not going to paralyze you. This one's not going to stop your heart necessarily. This is a upset tummy type situation, but seemingly a fairly severe upset tummy type situation. So like not a rumbly in the tumbly, but like, diarrhea, potentially vomiting.
Well, I mean, we've all had that kind of rumbly tumbly where you're pretty much incapacitated for a day or two.
Yeah.
Like you just any movement or whatever is so much discomfort and so much pain in your stomach that you just can't move or you whatever. So if you're out in the backcountry and you've got miles to go to the car whatever, it's just not. It's not a good situation to be in. So
well, and I in multiple places I saw this described as severe gastrointestinal, and in some spots even called it distress. Now, I am not a medical professional. I don't know if like upset stomach is different than gastrointestinal distress. But when I, the layperson, see the word distress next to something, that to me means pretty bad, right?
Right. You know, like you said, you're like, we're not medical professionals or anything like that, but you and I have had the conversation in the past of you go to the doctor and like, what's your pain level at and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah,
like we've had the conversation, like a 10, like if we, from medical people, we have been told if you're in the ER or you're at the doctor complaining about it, you're at a 10 because you can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
Or don't want to handle it anymore.
If we are at the ER.
Yeah.
You're up there higher than a 4.
Like, you're right. Like, but you and I have always described it like, what's your pain level at? And I'm like, man, like my arm's not getting bitten off by a shark. Like, I imagine that's a 10. So like on a scale of, I'm completely fine at 0 and arm getting bitten off by a shark at 10, I'm probably at a 4 or a 5.
Right. Well, that's why I'm like, I'm not actively on fire right now. Like, I imagine that would hurt worse than what I have. So I'm like, I'm at a six.
Right, exactly. I mean, I could be worse, but I'm here. Anyway, not to get off on that tangent, but if you're at a, this is probably hour 10 of gastrointestinal distress type of a situation of the only thing I'm going to be able to do is unzip my tent and apologize for everything on the other side. Like, I'm just being real.
Yeah. So that's pokeweed, or pokeweed berries specifically.
Yeah.
So that is like the end of my list of bad news bear stuff that I wanted to talk about. Right. That is like fairly common here in the U.S.
Mostly common stuff. Yeah.
Obviously, there's more stuff than that, but that's like your more common things. I want to next, and sorry if I'm bogarting the conversation here, Mike, but...
No, you're good.
I have...
Like, I bogarted the last one, kind of, so...
I have a traditional, or a transitional berry. So, like, I started talking about, like, the bad news bears, and then I have, like, the ones that are fairly safe to eat, and then I have one that's kind of, like, squarely in the middle of both of those. So,
okay, I'm intrigued.
That is going to be your elderberry. Here's why I say it's my transitional one. So, a raw, unripe elderberry, not good. Cooked and prepared elderberry is just fine. People make jams and stuff out of it.
Ripe, cooked and prepared.
Ripe, cooked prepared. Okay. Like in a jam or in a syrup or in some sort of like baked good type situation or in a sauce of some sort that's been like cooked. Theoretically, elderberries in that way are fine. So I could see people saying like, oh, my grandma makes jam out of these or something, or I make jam out of these.
Right.
Oh, here they are out in the wild. I could just pick it off this bush and eat it.
They're fine to pick and take home and prepare.
Correct.
They're not fine to eat in the woods. Okay.
Correct. So they are safe when cooked. They are not safe directly off the vine. This, again, is not like an end of the world if you eat at one. This is a nausea, vomiting, diarrhea type situation. So again, you're hopefully not going to end up in the hospital if you accidentally ingest a raw one, but try not to eat them raw. They're really only safe when they're cooked.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know if I mean, I've heard of elderberries, mostly from Monty Python, but, I don't know if I've ever heard of one outside of Monty Python, like IRL.
Yeah. So here's the problem with these in Sean Vincent's opinion. The problem with these...
Oh, just gave away your last name, too. You're making all sorts of
podcast mistakes. It's in the show notes every week. People know what our names are.
Oh.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask me to come up with a stage name?
I did not ask you to come up with a stage name, and 2 years later, it's too late.
I did not approve of this.
But... So anyway, back on topic. The problem with these for Sean Vincent is these are like that dark blue-black color, just like everything else we've been talking about. Not everything else, but like all the other dark blue-black ones. Me as a person not of the woods in my daily life, they all look the same to me. These look exactly like everything else to me.
Right.
So it's little clusters of blue-black berries. They could... You know, if you don't know what you're looking at,
I'm sure like the leaf structure and like the physical plant itself has a different look But are, the pictures you're looking at are probably just mostly just the berries?
I mean, I looked at both. Here is a full disclosure about me. I have a hard time telling different trees apart. So, well,
fair enough. Fair enough.
Like, I'm right. not...
What kind of tree is that? I don't know, a tall one?
Right. Like, I mean, like, I can usually tell a white birch from a pine tree, but, like, you want to get more specific than that? I'm not your guy. So,
so I know a weeping willow.
You know a weeping willow? Sure. I know an apple tree because it's usually got apples on it. You know, like,
right.
I'm not an expert. So, like, I'm looking at all these. Could somebody with a better trained eye tell the difference and be able to, like, oh, this one has a serrated leaf and this one has a not serrated leaf, or what? Could somebody else do
or
that?
Shiny or probably. Whatever, yeah.
To me, these plants look like any other plant that I would see out in the forest, to be honest with you.
Looking like a man.
You know, I mean, they all look the same. It all looks like it's, I don't know, some sort of wild plant. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Right.
So.
I mean, yeah, well. I mean, like I said, I just go off the thing of the our farmers grow our food professionally, and they grow edible food professionally, and so do our butchers and other farmers. Like, you know, they process the meats and all that stuff professionally. Like, that stuff is all edible. Right. I mean, oh, I guess I do. I fish and all that stuff. So, oh, I guess I catch wild caught fish. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got no argument there, I guess. I just don't trust things that grow on plants. I don't know why.
I'll be honest, that's kind of where I'm landing after this conversation. Like, I just...
But,
I
mean, but you're a vegetarian.
Well, like, oh, right. No, but, like, I trust... Which maybe I shouldn't, because you get into the whole, do you trust the government type thing or whatever. But, like, I guess when I go to the store and I buy a package of raspberries, I presume that package of raspberries is edible. When I go to the store and buy a package of blueberries, I operate on good faith that these are blueberries in here and it is safe for me to eat them.
And not elderberries or whatever,
Would my ancestors... absolutely roll over in their grave for me saying these types of things? Probably. Especially when my mom's side of the family has been farmers for generations. I don't trust myself enough to know. That's like, it's one of those life skills that I have never needed. I have a grocery store. I don't need to go and pick my own things.
Right. And that, I mean, we can get into, that's a whole, we should start a whole different podcast.
That is a whole different podcast. That's like a whole... privilege and society, and that's a whole different thing.
But politics,
like, I do not have a developed, like, survival instinct, foraging knowledge. I'm not good enough to feel comfortable going out and, like, testing my knowledge of this in any meaningful way.
I'm just glad that there, along the lines, was somebody that was taking notes when people ate these things, because, like, Gary went and ate this berry and he dropped over. So let's not eat that berry anymore.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, like, sorry, Gary, but, like, good for society.
So that is, like, the only thing that I have left on my list, just, and I'll just hit this one kind of real quick, is, like, the, okay, we've talked about all, like, the common bad news bears things out there, right? What are the ones that you could theoretically come across fairly commonly that would be safe to eat? Now, I'm not talking like apples and pears and peaches and all that sort of stuff that, like, are pretty readily identifiable, right? But, like, these are going to be berries that you're going to come across in the forest that you theoretically could eat. We mentioned at the top of the episode, wild raspberries or wild blackberries, if you see them out in the woods, pretty much safe to eat, hands down, period, full stop, safe to eat. They are basically unmistakable. If it looks like a raspberry or it looks like a blackberry, then it is a raspberry or blackberry. There's not really anything else that looks like those in North America. I should put that caveat. I didn't really search outside of North America. But in North America, if it looks like a raspberry or a blackberry, it is a raspberry or a blackberry. Safe to eat. You know, from there, it's just going to be like, is your body used to eating raspberries or blackberries, and do you want to deal with that? I mean, that's its own other thing, but
I feel like I would have GI issues regardless if it's safe to eat or not.
Yeah.
Like, just because my body's not used to it, so.
Right, for sure.
Right.
The other one that is pretty much universally safe to eat is blueberries. Blueberries could pop up in the wild. The thing to know about blueberries, this is one of those things, like, be sure that that is what you are ingesting, right? Like, be sure. Right. The easiest way for anybody that comes across it, so blueberries generally grow on a bush, and blueberries will usually have that powdery look to their skin. Like, anybody that's ever, you know, went blueberry picking or gotten blueberries from the store or anything, they'll have that. They call it a bloom. I have no idea why that's what that's called.
It's a blueberry.
No, bloom.
Bloom. I know, but it's a bloom. It's a bloom on a blueberry.
Yeah, but you can get bloom on other things. So, but anyway. But it's got that, it's that, like, powdery texture, right? Or, like, not even texture, powdery substance on the surface.
It's not a shiny berry. Right. It's more of a dull finish to it. Yeah.
But so if you come across blueberries in the wild and you know it's a blueberry, it would be safe to eat.
This is one that I found a little bit surprising, is that this says it's more common in sandy soils, especially in Michigan. Like, most things don't want to grow in sand, but apparently blueberries do. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's good enough. That's got to have something to do with the drainage, I would assume.
Could be, yeah. I participated.
And then the last, like, common berry that I wanted to mention is going to be your mulberry. Safe to eat, very common. Mulberries are pretty easy to identify. They kind of look like a super, like a bigger, longer raspberry almost, maybe. Is maybe the best way to describe that?
Well, mine says elongated blackberry, but raspberries and blackberries look the same, but different colors. Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Didn't you mention one of the other berries was an elongated blackberry? One of the poisonous ones?
No, I mentioned one looked like an elongated blueberry.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, there it is.
And that, I believe, was the honeysuckle one.
Right, okay.
So that looks like an elongated blueberry in some situations, but no, this looks like an elongated raspberry or blackberry.
Okay.
So
I was like just like, shit, are we freaking contradicting ourselves?
I don't think so. I didn't mean to if I did. But yeah, so these are pretty common. If you come across those, mulberries are the only thing that looks like a mulberry. So if it looks like a mulberry,
right,
and it's out in the wild, safe to eat, really common, good to go.
Yeah. I have a couple of little, like, no-brainer rule of thumbs type of things that, that my notes came up with was a, if you are not sure 100%, don't eat it.
Yep.
We've kind of been mentioning that, but bright, I'm not going to say dull or, like, maroonish colored, but like bright red or white berries in the wild are very often very toxic. So if it's bright red or white, don't eat it.
Okay.
If it's blue, black, purple, looks like a blueberry, definitely know what you're getting yourself into. Because if it's a blueberry, great. If it's not, it could be one of those other things, right, and then you're hoping there's a screen on your tent.
Yeah.
So
red, that, yeah, red, that so was... bright red is no-no. Black or dark blue is a...
Know what you're
getting into.
That's the fair. Deep reds, like, if it's a raspberry, like a deep red raspberry, like you said, if it's a if it looks like a raspberry, it's a raspberry. So those are okay. That but that's not a bright red.
No, that's not usually a bright red.
Right. So if it's a bright red or white, just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. I mean, you touch it, whatever. It's not it's not poisonous to the touch. It's not like a poison ivy or anything like that. But just definitely don't eat it. If you take your dogs with you, they don't know the difference. They don't know the research. They don't do anything like that. Make sure you know where you're going and don't let them eat it too. Cause if it's poisonous to us, it's more than likely poisonous to them. They have better stomachs than we do, but if you don't want to deal with the shits in the woods, you definitely don't want to deal with dog shits in the woods.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm just going to kind of circle back to where we started this too. And I'm just going to say, like, you know, I don't think hiking in the backcountry is the time to get experimental.
Adventurous.
And adventurous with your, like, meals. I mean,
adventurous with food.
Yeah.
It's the perfect time to get adventurous with just, like, being out in nature. But.
So, those are the topics that I wanted to cover. I do have, like, one little PSA to wrap up with. Did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about as far as the actual berries and stuff go before I start wrapping up, Mike?
No, the safest way to go is just to be like Mike and don't eat it.
I mean, realistically, I'm going to laugh at you saying that, but realistically, you're not right or you're not wrong. Safest way is don't eat it. So the last so I'll go to my quick little PSA. This will be quick and then we can wrap up for the day. But so my little PSA is, what do you do if you accidentally ingested something or you did ingest something and you're starting to get some of the symptoms? Like, what are the things to watch out for? What are the immediate steps to take? I said, get poison control's number programmed into your phone. Here in the U.S., poison control's number is 1-800-222-1222. So it is pretty easy to remember.
That is super easy,
But program it into your phone. The last thing you want to do is, like, be out there, like, kind of, I don't want to say panicking, but, like, not in 100% calm state and have to try to remember that. Like, oh, I remember it's an easy phone number, but what is it? Program it into your phone. So that number, again, is 1-800-222-1222. The other thing is, if you do accidentally ingest something, the things that you're going to want to watch out for are nausea, vomiting, dizziness, confusion, stomach cramps, diarrhea, that sort of stuff. If you start having any of those symptoms, you're going to want to, if you still have anything in your mouth, spit it out, stop eating whatever it is you were eating. Drink water if you have safe drinking water to drink. And then call poison control or 911 or whatever your emergency service is.
Nothing says to induce vomiting or anything like that.
Huh? I did not. I'll be honest. I didn't read anywhere that the proper thing to do would be to induce vomiting. Okay. Now, would a medical professional say something else? Possibly. If you're able to connect with 911 or poison control, might they suggest you do that? I don't know. I don't want to speak for them, and I don't want to tell people like that's a good thing to do. Because I don't feel like I'm qualified for that. But those are kind of the steps to take. You have a podcast.
You're plenty qualified.
I know, right. I know. You think. But it turns out anybody can have a podcast.
Oh.
So, having said that, if any of our listeners have any fun anecdotes about this one time they tried these wild berries while out in the woods and it didn't turn out well, and here's my story.
Those stories, those would be a lot of fun to read and or share with everybody.
That's the thing. Even if you tell us not to share it on the podcast, I would still love to read it because I feel like it would be entertaining. If you would like us to share it on the podcast, we will certainly do that as well. You can always send those stories to us via our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. You can reach us on most of the major socials at seanmikehike or always on our website, seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a hike and just don't eat it.
There you go. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks.
See you guys in a couple weeks.